Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
God's great work in our lives, in fact, is unbending us, rescuing us from our incessant internal obsession with ourselves.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 1 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So last time, we just got into chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians with the treatment of spiritual, gifts, people. Remember, we couldn't tell for sure because the Greek was ambiguous. With the idols, the demon associated with it overrode, if you will, the personality of the one prophesying. It took over and spoke through them. Not so with the Spirit of God. God isn't into clones. He delights in diversity that actually unites. The closer one is united by the Spirit to Jesus, the more unique and unrepeatable one is. And the Spirit opens the mouth to confess that Jesus is Lord, is Yahweh, is the true King. And lastly, recall the Trinitarian reference to the variety of gifts from the same Spirit, varieties of service to the same Lord, varieties of activities or energizings, and yet God the Father empowering them all. So out from the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, comes a huge variety of gifts. Moving farther into the chapter, a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, you are ready to dig into the Word of God for today? I sure am. Let's get to it. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This lays down a cardinal principle of life for the people of God. It's outward focused, not inward. God's great work in our lives, in fact, is unbending us, rescuing us from our incessant internal obsession with ourselves. The end result, as Luther once put it so beautifully, is that the Christian learns to live life outside of him or herself. He lives in Christ by faith. She lives in her neighbor by love. So the gifts of the Spirit tug us in that direction, away from mere self-gratification and toward God and the neighbor. St. Paul calls that the common good. St. Basil the Great, who presided at the council where the Nicene Creed was completed in 381, said it best. When one is living in community with others, the grace privately bestowed on each individual becomes the common possession of others. One who receives any of these gifts does not possess it for his own sake, but rather for the sake of others. This is the exact dynamic you can see at work in that first congregation in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost. Remember? And all those who believed were together and had all things in common, Acts 2:44. And remember how the wealthy even sold some of their possessions in order to be able to share with sisters or brothers in need. How no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Acts 4:32, because those who believed were of one heart and soul, pulled out of themselves, united in Jesus by his Spirit, they learned to live for others. So that's just a manifestation of the Spirit. He tugs you out toward others in blessing. Now, if that's true even for earthly possessions, how much more for the spiritual graces he dumps out, as we'll hear, verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. Okay, unpacking all these spiritual gifts is a challenge. What is the difference between the utterance of wisdom and the utterance of knowledge here? St. Augustine, author of City of God, he thought of it like this. Wisdom refers to the knowledge of divine things, and knowledge to human science. Well, you might say wisdom then has to do with things above and knowledge with things below. And we might extrapolate a little bit further to the teaching of heavenly doctrine, wisdom, versus the teaching of, well, how to live godly lives in this world, knowledge. Either way, whether speaking of the glories of the Holy Trinity or teaching people how to be hospitable and welcoming, it's the same Spirit in either one at work. He's just showing up in different ways. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Faith here is usually taken as what the theologians call heroic faith, the faith that moves mountains. The faith, for example, of Elijah praying down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, and then praying for rain after 3 years of drought and getting an immediate answer. And we distinguish that from saving faith, which holds to Christ for the forgiveness of sins and oftentimes does so in great weakness and struggle. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, as the father of the demon-afflicted child once prayed. And so, gifts of healing. I don't think the intention here is what we would normally call the medical arts. Those are gifts of healing too, of course, but I think Paul had in view the plethora of healing miracles that accompanied the gospel's preaching, especially in those early days. You know how that's a constant feature of the Holy Gospels. They all attest to numerous healings by Jesus. And remember that Luke begins Acts with the words, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach." That's because in the second volume, Acts, he recounts all that Jesus continues to do and to teach, this time through the apostles. Huge among those deeds of Christ was this gift of healing. From the lame man in the temple in Acts 3, to Philip's healings in Samaria in Acts 8, from the healing of Aeneas in Acts 9, to the handkerchiefs carried from Paul's body that granted healing in Acts 19. Governing all those miracles of healing are the words of St. Peter. Why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we made this man walk? He's clear. It was Jesus and his name who has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. It was those gifts of healing St. Paul is referring to here as being a shining, a manifestation of Jesus' Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Working of miracles obviously includes the healings, but there were other miracles, and they all have in common that nature doesn't do exactly what we're used to it doing. Think of Elisha making the iron axe head float, Moses lifting the rod and the sea splitting before him, angels releasing the apostles from prison in the middle of the night and sending them out to preach in the temple. Now, prophecy, first and foremost, just means speaking out a word from God. We associate it with speaking words about the future because God often does that. But prophecy has never been limited to what's coming down the pike. The ability to distinguish spirits, that is, the ability to discern what is of the Spirit of God and what is of the demonic spirit, is the next in the list. St. John, recall, spills more than a little bit of ink on how to know the true from the fake in his first epistle, the fourth chapter. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. 1 John 4:1. It is a special charism of the Holy Spirit that some recognize the liar right away when he speaks. Tongues, of course, he's going to deal with a lot more, but it means the ability to pray in languages that haven't been learned or studied, and that may, in truth, may not even be of the earth. The interpretation of tongues just helps others understand what is being prayed. Much more on that in the next few chapters. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So apparently right there in Corinth, that congregation, which St. Paul called enriched in all speech and knowledge, and not lacking in any gift as they awaited the appearing of Christ in glory. Remember how the epistle began, chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. All these gifts, they're wonderfully manifesting the grace of the Holy Spirit among them all. The Spirit was the one who empowered, or to transliterate the Greek, who energized them all. The energy flowed from the Holy Spirit through the community, and it did just as he wills. In other words, no one chose, oh, I'm going to have this gift. Didn't work that way then, and it still doesn't. The Spirit is the source of that energy being unleashed, and he gives to each and everyone the way he chooses to give. Because of our fallen human nature, there's always this sinful tug from inside to compare yourself to others and to want what they've been given that you haven't, and to feel maybe slighted by God and irritated that they might have a gift that you think is a little more glamorous and flashy than what you've been entrusted with. Now, St. Paul obviously didn't give the whole list here as though it were exhaustive. I think it is fascinating that in the construction of the tabernacle, we read about Bezalel, Exodus 35, verse 31, that God has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze. So what we human beings call abilities, which can be mastered and grown in, well, these are also graces of the Holy Spirit, and they too fall under the rubric of being given for the glory of God and for the benefit of our neighbor. Let's stop with that thought. Next up, St. Paul will deal with how this diversity of gifts that flows from the one giver, the triune God, results in a wondrous, diverse, and yet unified body. And he turns to the human body for analogy that helps you realize that God hasn't gypped you if he hasn't blessed you with one of those flashier gifts, but how each member has something important to contribute to the whole body, and without each member, you wouldn't even have a body. As with your bod, so with Christ's church. Till next time then, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.